Hi, guys. It's Dr. Danny Chaban with Dominion Women's Health. And so far, we're on our next podcast this month, and I think we're getting closer to a name for the podcast. It's If These Walls Could Speak. So far, that's the one that's been going viral, so we'll try that. Today's podcast is going to be pretty cool. We're going to be fortunate enough to have one of Dominion Women's Health's midwives coming in, and I'm going to have Martha explain to us exactly what we do in the practice and how midwifery is incorporated into OBGYN. It's a little bit different than dealing with midwifery in, let's say, a teaching hospital or hospital-based midwifery. So that's our big goal. And as soon as she gets here, we're going to bring her in. Just a few updates. Our next podcast is going to be going back towards bioidentical hormone therapy because we've had a lot of people reaching out and asking questions. So I'm going to get Melissa to try to formulate our questions in regards to the bioidentical hormone. I'm going to try to stay away from the political aspect for a while. Heard a lot about that in a positive way, but I figure let's just let our government officials do what they're not doing and do it really well at it. A little bit about our practice at Dominion Women's Health that's a little bit different than most OBGYN practices, but could be similar in some of the ones here in Richmond, is our practice is based with physician providers, which we have five physicians, which are MDs, that are in the practice. And we're fortunate enough to have two midwives and four nurse practitioners slash physician associates. So in our practice, our providers are MDs, midwives, nurse practitioners, and PAs. And the nice thing is our practice, we don't separate any individual provider. Everyone is a provider of Dominion Women's Health. So if we have a patient that's seeing a nurse practitioner and has a complication or has any potential surgery or is pregnant, the nurse practitioners will co-manage with the physicians or the midwives if they're pregnant and go over a treatment plan, and the patient is introduced to the physician. So it makes the practice really amazing in the fact that everybody works together. Unlike some institutions where they list patients as nurse practitioner patients or midwifery patients, our patients are all part of one big family. So today's talk is going to be about how we incorporated midwifery into our practice. Our practice incorporated it about a few years ago, and it's growing pains. I mean, we weren't used to having midwives. Midwives weren't used to working in a private practice setting, but I think we hit the mother load. It's a gold mine what we have right now with our two midwives, and we're planning on bringing on another two midwives into our practice. So in the next few minutes, I'll be bringing in Martha, who's still on her way from the hospital. Anything else we're supposed to talk about today, Melissa?
No. I mean, maybe if you want to start by explaining, you know, maybe the differences between a midwife and a doctor and what a patient can expect.
I mean, I think that's an important thing, and I was going to talk about it once Martha's here, but it's a good point to talk about. So a midwife, it's just like when you're talking about a nurse practitioner or a PA, they have their RN degree and then they have a two-year degree on top of that. And they basically deal with low intervention obstetrics. So meaning if, God forbid, a patient needs a C-section, that's not a midwifery patient. If a patient needs vacuum delivery or forcep delivery, that's not a midwifery patient. The midwives deal directly with the physicians. So it's usually low risk, pretty normal pregnancies that the midwifery patients belong to. In our practice, the nice thing about it is we deal with a lot of general OB patients and high risk OB. So we try to get the midwives trained, and most of them are trained in high risk obstetrics, so they know what to spot and how to refer it to one of the physicians. We're pretty blessed in this practice because our midwives have a combined 35, 40 years experience of obstetrics. And the reason why is Martha will go through and tell you. She's been a labor and delivery nurse for over 20 years. We have Andrea, who was a labor and delivery nurse for over 15 years. So the one thing that we're pretty lucky in this practice is that they know how to spot high-risk patients, low-risk patients, and they tend to co-manage. But and they'll manage the patient from preconception to conception to postpartum. And that's the one advantage that we have in the practice. And they're able to follow the patients to whichever hospital they want to deliver at. The one thing in our practice is instead of saying that you're limited to one hospital or the midwives only have privileges at one, our midwives have privileges at multiple hospitals in our community. And that's what you really want. And if you've chosen to go the lower interventional route, you just want to be able to deal more with a natural pregnancy and you don't want high intervention, the midwifery route is the way to go. But the also the great thing is knowing that you're in a practice that if something turns a corner or if there's a problem, you have the midwives working in direct contact with the physicians and that they can co-manage together. Go ahead.
Why don't you talk a little bit about, when you say interventions, what does that mean?
That's a great question. So when I talk about intervention, let's say, for instance, I've got a 25-year-old young woman, first pregnancy. She's a perfectly healthy woman. And all of a sudden, she gets to 38 weeks, 39 weeks, her blood pressure starts going up dramatically. She's seeing blurred vision, spots between in her eyes. She's got swelling. Those are the kind of patients that you talk about preeclampsia, and that's where you're going to have intervention coming in. So those are the type of patients. Yes, she's here. So I'd like to introduce Martha, our highly experienced midwife in our practice. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So we were just going over like the little bit of experience that you and Andrea have. So I was explaining that you have over 20 years experience as a labor and delivery nurse.
30.
So, and I feel like personally that gives us an advantage over other midwifery practices within a practice because you guys already have high risk obstetrical experience being a labor and delivery nurse.
Yep, I completely agree. Because a lot of it, I think, has to do with your comfort with the patients, working, laboring with them, having seen so much over 30 some years. I think it does make a big difference.
And I think also, and I've seen you in action as a labor and delivery nurse, as well as a midwife, is that you know how to talk patients off the cliff. So
yes.
If you have someone turning the corner, that's... And I think that's the advantage with midwifery when you're laboring with a patient. You can take that time out with the patient and work with them.
Yeah, I was just met with a patient that just transferred to me that for that reason. She was just wanting to establish a rapport, wanting to know what we offered, how we worked with patients. Of course, our practice is more of a hybrid. So we're not like, I'm not delivering at home. I have patients to see in the office. So it's not like I can labor with them the whole time. And I told her that, but you know, you get to the end, you get to that point where they're losing their stuff and, you know, trying to do this naturally. And just being able to stay calm and work with them and encourage them through, let them know what's going on. I think it makes a huge difference.
That's great. When you said hybrid, I like when you say hybrid in regards to our practice, because in the past when we interviewed midwives or when you think of midwifery, people think, oh, it's just obstetrics. It's just the baby. And I like the hybrid model where you basically don't you get to know the patient not only during their pregnancy, but you see them for their annual exams, GYN visits.
Yeah, and that's really nice is you really continue that relationship with them. And I think it's important to know their GYN history also because it impacts their obstetric history and it impacts what they want and how they, you know, their wishes. You've learned to be with them. You've learned their ins and outs and get to know their family. So, yeah, I think it's very important.
I agree. I mean, I think that back in 2002 when we started this practice, if you remember, like I would admit a patient to labor and delivery and I go, yeah, her husband's this, she's this, she has a little bit of anxiety, she's got this. And sometimes nurses would say, well, how do you know all this? And it's because you've built that rapport with the patient, you know how to talk them off the cliff if they, versus seeing a patient for the first time when they're in labor and you're like, okay, we need to do this. And the patient's like, I don't know who you are. Why am I doing this?
All right.
So I love that hybrid model, and it gives you guys the ability to get to have that continuity of care and get to build that rapport with the patient and their family.
Yeah, and the other benefit is that, you know, having had that rapport and everything, and if something should go, they start going more high risk, say they've got really high blood pressure or gestational diabetes, something that's going to require more than out of our scope of practice, we have you guys to back up with, but we can still care for them because we have you as our backup. And we just keep all of you guys updated on what's going on with the patient so that it's a continuity of care. We don't have to just turn them over. We don't have to lose them because they've risked out of our care.
Yeah. And I think that's a great statement because like in our practice, we've had it where Martha's got a patient that's turning the corner into high risk. But what we will do is we'll co-manage that patient together. And God forbid, like we've even had patients together that have needed a C-section. And my assistant is Martha. So that way the patient has more of a comfort. The patient understands, you know what, the person that was with me from the beginning is still with me, but they brought someone in that can make sure that I'm okay and the baby's okay. So I like that whole concept.
Yeah, we had a patient like that. We've had a couple actually like that. And even on her postpartum visit, she was very grateful for the fact that we had you as a backup. And when things went south, she felt very comfortable because we were both in there.
And I was speaking earlier before you got here, is our whole goal is, it's hard to find, but to find two more midwives with the experience level that the two that we have right now, especially it's hard. I mean, and you know it from just talking to other midwives and other physicians, it's hard for physicians to grasp the concept of working with a midwife. It's hard for a midwife to grasp the concept in this hybrid model. I think is an amazing model because it finds a medium between both. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like I said, I really like it. I like the comfort level with me and with you guys, just having that backup, having somebody I can pick the phone up if I'm in the room and I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but this is what's going on. And I do it in front of the patient because then she feels like you're included and we're all included.
Yep. No, I agree. Anything else you can think of, Melissa, that we're missing? So, and that's a great question, is just to talk about like what a midwife is, what are the common misconceptions about midwifery and what they tend to do.
Well, a good common misconception is that all midwives deliver at home and that we're a little bit nutty and that they don't have options for pain relief. And again, another good thing about being in a practice like this that's a hybrid is you have the advantage of we don't deliver at home. And that's, you know, that's kind of out of our little practice scope.
And it'll never happen. I promise you that.
And if I get a patient that wants a home birth, there's a midwife I know that works in the community and I just refer them there. As far as we go, midwifery leans more towards a physiological birth. So we try not to intervene. We try to let your body do exactly what it's meant to do. We have our little tricks up our sleeves that we can do to try to make processes as smooth as possible, labor as smooth as possible. But we more or less try to just let your body do what it's supposed to do. if we need interventions, we have you guys as backups. But I think, yeah, the biggest misconception are those two. You know, they only deliver at home and we can't have pain relief. You can have an epidural. You can have pain relief. You can do whatever you want. My purpose is to help you have the type of birth that you want and that you dream about. And sometimes we have to tweak that a little bit because of what's going on. But having developed that relationship throughout your prenatal care, we can tweak that. We can work with it. It's not something I'm going to slam you with. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do this. We're going to work it out.
And I love that concept, but it's also not even a concept. It's what midwifery is all about. And I think patients, they'll come to our practice. And I've had my own patients say, well, I was thinking about delivering, but I want to deliver all natural. I don't want anything done. And I go, well, what's your definition of all natural? Well, someone told me that if I get an epidural, it's not natural. And I'm like, well, those are based on the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And I try to explain to people, like back when I was born in 64, I know I look good for my age, but what happened was, and I was talking to one of the doctors in Richmond, and I was telling him how my mom was so upset when she delivered that she didn't see her doctor's face. They put her to sleep. And he started laughing, and he's an older, high-risk OBGYN doctor. He goes, dude, that's the way we were all trained, is the women came in labor, and when she was ready to push, they tell the husband, give her a kiss, go outside to the waiting room, have your pack of cigarettes with the other men, and we'll come out and tell you when she delivers. And they'd wheel her to the C-section room, and they'd give her gas, mm-hmm. and put her out and put forceps on and deliver. So back then, midwifery was coming into fashion in the United States even more, and people were talking about natural. And natural meant that you didn't get gas and you didn't get put to sleep. So if you came in and delivered before they could take you to give you gas or put forceps on. And he said they never had problems with shoulder dystocia because the woman was out cold. And I'm like, but that's sort of barbaric. And he goes, that's just the way it was back then. And it's sort of crazy because when I finished my residency or started my residency in 1998, we had a similar concept in New York. Women were laboring in the room and there was two women to each room. And when she was ready to deliver, we took her to the C-section room. Not that we gave her gas, but she delivered in the C-section room. Mm-hmm. So I try to explain that concept to women that an epidural is still natural. There's nothing going to the bloodstream of the baby. You're going to feel it there. Do you ever get patients asking you those questions?
I do. And you're right. The pain relief aspect of it and the fact of getting an epidural, some people think is totally not natural. But if you deliver vaginally, it's natural. You're good.
I agree.
And they just, the misconceptions, I guess, is the thing that we have to work with more than anything. But you're absolutely right. My mom was the same way. She couldn't believe that people were actually awake when they had babies. You see your kid 6 or 8 hours later. But even in the section room, even if we have to go to the C-section, we try to get that baby on your chest. We try to work with you. We don't just drop you off. We
exactly
just try to keep things just as natural and as close. We encourage the bonding, encourage breastfeeding, whatever you want, your desires. We just try to work with you as best we can.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. And especially in this day and time with C-sections, I tell patients all the time, they go, well, am I going to get to see my baby? And we basically say, hey, there's a pass-through. So as soon as I deliver the baby's going on your chest. You're going to deal with this child. You've been carrying the child 9 months. You're going to carry the child back to the recovery area. So I like that concept. But you're right about like the old days and how deliveries, like my dad, even till this day, tells me, he goes, I still don't understand how a man's in a delivery room. And I'm like, Dad, you had 3 kids. He goes, never was in there. I was out smoking the cigarette. They told me I had a girl. I told me I had a boy. I would handshake people and I'd wait until they cleaned. I'm like, Dad, that's not the way nature's intended. But that's the way they were programmed back then. And it's sort of sad because the bonding didn't exist as much.
Yeah.
Anything else, Melissa, you can think of that we're supposed to be talking about?
Talk about just the evolution even of the hospital's acceptance of like even just some of those things. I know a lot of the facilities here have really been accommodating to midwifery care.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because like I trained in New York, and in New York we had, and I didn't like the model, but I liked the model. They had a midwifery practice and they had the OBGYN residents and the physicians, and I was more wanting them to be combined together, but they had that separation. So like a patient would come in and they'd say, this is a midwifery patient. It's nobody else's patient. And then like at 3 a.m, all hell breaking loose, you ran in and you didn't know what the patient was. But I got to work with some amazing midwives. And just like physicians, and I tell patients all the time, there's good physicians and bad physicians. There's good midwives and bad midwives. But I got to experience some really amazing midwives. So when I moved to Richmond and started this practice, I looked at having a midwife work in conjunction with me at first. And the way the system was set up was not conducive for midwifery. It was almost crazy. The hospitals had all these regulations that if I had a midwife on labor and delivery, I had to be standing there, which was a waste of time, money, assets. So they basically pushed midwifery away early on. And then what would you say, probably like 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
I'd say more like 10.
10 years ago?
Where we started really seeing more midwifery acceptance of midwifery practice.
Yeah,
and because up until then, it was all, we had midwifery in the area, but it was only home deliveries. The hospitals were not allowing the midwives in to the hospital.
Yeah.
And again, for that, I guess, that risk that they feel like we were nuts, that we're not going to really take care of our patients, and had one goal in mind, was, and that was to avoid medical issues whatsoever. And that's a lot of another misconception that a lot of patients have, is that they feel like some midwives, or that midwifery in the past, had the bad reputation of just anti-medicine anything. But we know, again, with this hybrid model, there's a time when you can just moan and groan and do all you want and squat on the floor and have a baby, and I'm perfectly happy. And there are times when you need Pitocin or an epidural or a C-section even. And, yeah, you know, we need to combine our efforts.
And that's the thing with our hybrid model, that I think patients, once they enter into our practice, they fall in love with it, is that not everybody was intended on this earth to deliver vaginally. Not every patient was intended to have a C-section. So, but we're able to manage and co-manage these patients. And yes, you have the ability to have that intervention if you need it, versus the old mentality of like, oh, I'm in a midwifery, it's coming out that way, and that's the only way. And our whole goal in our practice since 2002, when I started this practice, is our ultimate goal is to have a beautiful mother and a beautiful baby. We don't choose one or the other. And we do that in our gynecology practice. I mean, our ultimate outcome is to have a beautiful, healthy woman who's able to manage her own health and make her own decisions. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Melissa?
Can you just briefly explain, Martha, just kind of the different levels of midwives, I guess, and just, you know, where you are versus maybe a lay midwife and just kind of those?
So most are all either lay midwives or certified midwives or certified nurse midwives take the same boards. There are out there, I guess they call them practical midwives, where they are only allowed to deliver in the home because they do not have the nursing background that they require for you to deliver in a hospital or to work in a hospital type thing. And I know many of them, and they're great. They've been doing it for years. They're safe. They usually work in conjunction with a physician that has hospital privileges. They'll pass them off. but you do have, I mean, like he said, there's good and bad of everybody. And sometimes you get patients and midwives or patients that come in who have been to these lay midwives who aren't really trained specifically and have the knowledge base. And that's when you get the bad reputation of a midwife, when, you know, just you get a few bad apples out there who aren't being safe with their patients, who their only goal is this patient does not get any medical care whatsoever. This, they have to do it at home. They have to, and they push their limits. We've seen over the years, again, I did labor and delivery for 32 years. So I've seen over the years where people came in and they were disastrous because they did not have somebody with a rounded experience or a medical knowledge. In fact, just recently I met a friend at another friend's house who she just was all excited because she had just finished her midwifery training and already had like six patients that were her patients. Well, her midwifery training was just watching somebody deliver a baby a few times. And I was like, wow. So they're still out there. But, you know, research your midwife, research her background, research her education. You want somebody well-rounded. You don't want somebody who's just going to cut off all options. Like, I'd love for your body to do this completely and naturally all on its own, not have to intervene to do anything, but nothing literally but catch your child. But that doesn't always happen. We have a very large population of unhealthy people in this day and age, and that leads to problems in pregnancy. And so knowing that you're stretching my limits and knowing I have somebody to back up if I have issues, I think it's extremely important. Again, like Dr. Chaban says, we want a healthy mom and a healthy baby. So there's all kinds of levels out there, but certified midwives, certified nurse midwives both take the same practice boards. And it's just a matter of whether they can practice in hospital or out. And those are the two that you probably want to lean towards versus just a lay midwife or somebody who is just thinks they're a midwife.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right. There's good and bad and everything. And I think we've learned as a practice. I mean, Martha will tell you, we've hired people in the past and it just wasn't a good fit. It's hard to find the right fit. We've been pretty blessed and fortunate that we found a good fit. And now we're looking for other midwives to join our practice. But now we know exactly what we're looking for. And having our midwives searching out other midwives and then coming to myself and the other partners and saying, I think this is going to be a good fit. Because it's not easy to be part of a practice that's a hybrid. I mean, we like the hybrid model because we're all taking care of each other. And I think Martha will attest to this too, is like when Martha first started, I said, there's no Martha patient or Dr. Chaban patient or Danny or Tom patient. They're Dominion Women's Health patients. They're our family. So we tend to manage them together.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about doulas and how maybe they might be a little bit different and how they kind of work with?
They're a lot different.
I happen to love doulas.
Do you? Okay.
Because of our hybrid practice, I can't be there from the time that your water breaks or you first start laboring or whatever. Doulas are excellent source of labor support. They meet you before, during your pregnancy, just like we do. They get to know your ins and outs. They get to know your desires for your labor. And they're really good at comfort measures in labor. Every patient I get who wants to do, quote unquote, all natural with and try an unmedicated delivery, I tell them, you need to find a doula. And this is why. And even with us both working together, and there's a lot of doulas I've worked with over the years, I love them. They're great support. They work in conjunction with us. Of course, there's always good and bad with everybody, but I've met very few bad doulas.
I'm of the belief, like I'm pretty pain in the butt when it comes. I have like five doulas that I truly, truly love. Mm-hmm. And I work amazingly well with them. But I also have worked with some that sometimes I wonder if they got their certification online or what they did, but we're pretty lucky in Richmond. And I agree with Martha, the doulas that we have are pretty amazing, but I also love that a lot of the labor and delivery nurses are certified doulas too. Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot.
Yeah. And the whole atmosphere has changed because, I think we saw more of the doulas that were kind of resistant to any kind of intervention back before the midwives were here.
Correct.
Because they felt like they were fighting you docs, and trying to lean more towards a natural birth. I find that they work better with the midwives just because they don't feel like they're being defensive with their patients at all.
Yep. No, I agree.
How about the VBACs? Can you talk a little bit about maybe preferences or if there's anything that is recommended, isn't recommended?
I mean, we have, it's not a quote written policy, but we try to educate our patients in our practice that if I have a patient who comes in and I don't have records of her C-section. Now, with all reality, most C-sections are low transverse, meaning a low incision on the uterus. So can a patient deliver vaginally? Yeah, I mean, they definitely can. We don't induce any of our VBACs in our practice. We just find that it's more risk to induce a closed cervix because the weakest point is the incision. The other thing is that do we allow our patients to VBAC? Yeah, with proper counseling, we allow them to VBAC. I usually, with my patients, and each partner in our practice is different, but in my managed patients is I usually say, pick a birthday. And they go, okay, so they pick the birthday. If they go into natural labor prior to that date, we deliver vaginally. If they don't, that's the baby's birthday. Now, am I delivering repeat C-section at 37 weeks is the birthday? No, we're talking about 39 weeks and further. The other thing is, and Martha will probably agree, is why did you get a C-section? That's the biggest thing. And that's the big thing that patients need to understand is that, okay, your first baby, you were in labor, you went into labor on your own, your water broke, you progressed to 10 centimeters, you pushed for 4 hours and the baby never came down. There's a pretty good chance it's not going to work again. But if your baby was breech in the first pregnancy and you got sectioned, that doesn't mean you can't VBAC. That's nonsense. Or if the baby had a cord around the neck and there was a issue with the heartbeat, I think those patients tend to do well. I always joke, and you know from labor and delivery, being a labor and delivery nurse, the kiss of death is when a patient of mine says, my grandmother had all C-sections, my mother had all C-sections, my sister, and I go, this isn't good. So, but they can prove things wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I like to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
So
that's the midwife and the prep.
I happen to think that everybody labors differently. And even if you have a C-section for, I've gotten to 10 centimeters, the baby didn't come out. Yeah. 90% of the time, it's the position of the baby. And that is one skill I've had forever, is getting babies in the right position. When I started working in OB too, it was required for people to try to labor after a section. That was an insurance thing back in the late 80s. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, I remember.
But they had to attempt to VBAC. And we had like 80%+ of our patients would deliver vaginally just because they were required to.
Yeah, but that was also going back to that. I mean, because I was the late 80s, and every time in residency we had a patient VBAC, it was like a huge ordeal. You had to check them to make sure this, which now looking back, retrospect, was the dumbest thing you could do, is they had us do an exam on the patient to feel the scar,
right,
to see if it was ruptured. And honestly, looking back, not one physician will ever admit this, but I think 90% of these scars that were ruptured were induced by checking the patient, like, because that it's paper thin and they're like feeling in there for the scar. I'm like, and I used to tell the residents when I was training them, like, what are you doing? And they go, oh, I'm feeling the scar. And I'm like, is she bleeding? They go, no. I go, then leave her alone. But you remember every scar was checked. So I don't know. But I also think in this day and time and in this environment, it's as long as the patient knows her risks and benefits, and there's a lot more benefits to attempting a VBAC than the risks. As long as they understand it, it's up to them. If they decide to choose to have an elective repeat, I'm totally supportive of it. Just like I'm one of the few that are totally supportive of a woman who comes to me and says, I've never delivered vaginally. This is my first baby. I want to have a C-section. And I go, why? Why would you do that? I educate them, but it's their choice. Just like it's a woman's choice for other things, as we know politically in this country. But as long as they're educated, I think that's the most important thing, is I think sometimes in healthcare, you don't give the patient all the information they need. And I think some providers just guide the patient down their path and say, forget about giving more information.
Yeah, and it's how you present information too.
Yeah.
You want to present it with an open mind and open, you know, ended conversation so that they can ask questions and they can feel like they have all the knowledge they need to make the right decision.
Absolutely. And our famous line in our practice is, we both have to be on the same page.
Yep.
If you're not on the same page, that's just a recipe for disaster. So I say most of our patients are always on the same page. They know their options. And they know they're not limited to going down one path. They can go down either path that they want.
And they can change their minds. If somebody wants to try to labor and their labor is extremely prolonged after having had a C-section before, and they decide that they've had enough, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today. And thank you, Martha, for being here. She's going to start taking over the podcast because I'm not doing this every But yes, so we're thinking of names for the podcast.
Yeah.
So mine got thrown out. So the one that's in now is If These Walls Could Speak. But I don't know.
I have to think on that.
You got to think on it. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Have a great day. Bye, guys.